Hey, Gunnar here, and you're listening to Steel City Music on the Hawk. In this hour, we're going to feature a 3 for 30 with a special guest, Jesse Gollum. Also, you'll hear music from Miles Evan Brenna, Pedro Rabbits, but starting things off, Ostella, here on Steel City Music.
Strength to wait, deep blue innocence of all the saints. But you came to me like a tidal wave. My flowing hair was heaven to behold, taken for the sins that never would unfold. A secret hidden from the light of day. You got me, you got me, you got me, you got me hanging on. Please don't go.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Yeah.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
TV shows. I have to tell you, my absolute favorite show in the world is a little program called Law and Order. I love Law and Order. Most of my time, when I'm not trying to figure out who Tyler Perry is, I'm watching Law and Order. It's a great show. I watch so much Law and Order. Sometimes I think I'm in an episode of Law and Order. Like, I'll just be, like, walking to the car with my friends, and I'll be like, hey, you guys see the game last night? That ref should get his eyes checked. Wait a second. Parking garage in the afternoon. Vague and crappy dialogue. We're about to find a dead body. We never do. And the best thing about Law and Order is that it's like the same episode every single time. Like, it's the same thing again and again. To the point that, like, you see the same types of characters on every Law and Order. They'll bust out these same types of people on different episodes. Some of my personal favorites, there is a guy who, while being questioned by homicide detectives, will not stop unloading crates. Doesn't matter to this guy. Double rape and murder? Nah. He's gotta unload that van. The detectives, they'll show up with all these serious questions, and this guy's just like, Tony Ramirez? Yeah, I remember him. Used to work here Tuesdays. It's like, dude, people have died. Often are you questioned by homicide detectives? Other favorites on Law and Order, there is a judge who allows everything. I'll allow it. But watch yourself, McCoy. And, of course, the New York City bartender who recognizes everybody that's ever been in the bar ever. The cops come in and hand the bartender a photo. Law and Order bartender's always like, They always make that face, that like their face needs to adjust to a photograph. Like they're like, oh, a picture. Not for nothing, but for a second I thought it was a tiny person. Okay. Yeah, blue shirt lady. Nice lady. Came in here Friday around 7:30. And the cops are like, all right, did she seem upset? Nah, she was smiling. Guy she was with didn't look too happy, though. He left about 9:35, 9:36. It's like, which New York City do you work in? I live there. I live with people I don't recognize. Oh, and then the bartender will always ask the cop the same question. He's just like, why? Did something happen to her? Yes. Something most definitely did. That's why the murder police are here with a photograph of her talking about her in the past tense. There's been an incident. I love Law and Order. I do. And I miss Jerry Orbach more than certain dead relatives of mine. He was the best. Jerry Orbach, for those of you that don't know who that is, he played Detective Lenny Briscoe on Law and Order for many, many years. He was a wonderful actor. He also played the dad in Dirty Dancing. He's the one that put Baby in the corner. But a few years ago, Jerry Orbach died. You may know that. It was very sad. What you may not know, and this is absolutely true, by the way. I would not shit you, San Francisco. It's absolutely true. After Jerry Orbach died, he donated his eyes to the New York Eye Bank. He was an eye donor, okay? And there's these signs all over New York that you can see, and they're in, you know, ads in magazines and stuff, and they say, Jerry Orbach gave his heart and soul to the gift of acting and the gift of sight to two New Yorkers. Two New Yorkers got Jerry Orbach's eyes. Sorry, like as a transplant, not just to have. Like they got them put in. They got them surgically put in, not just to carry around mushy-like. Like, they got them like a doctor did it. That is an amazing story. There's two different New Yorkers walking around with Jerry Orbach's eyeballs. That is amazing. What's more amazing is that it's two different people in New York City, right? They're probably strangers. They probably don't know each other, right? Well, that would make a great movie. Like, that is the plot of a great romantic comedy. I can see the preview now if it's just like, he's an average guy who only likes sports. Dude, you gonna sell your grandmother's wedding ring? What? I need it for season tickets. But she's a busy businesswoman who only likes business. Ma'am, could you turn off that Bluetooth? We're at a baptism. He's March Madness. She's Merrill Lynch. Got it. But they have one thing in common. They both have Jerry Orbach's eyeballs shoved into their face. New Line Cinema presents Love at First Sight. This summer, love is spelled with two I's. I thought a lot about it. Thank you. And the scene. Thank you. I'm very proud of myself. And the scene where the guy and the girl finally meet, okay? Because beginning of the movie, they get the eye transplant. That's a given. Rest of the movie, they're walking around New York, right? But they keep crisscrossing. And you're like, oh, when are they finally going to meet? But they don't cross paths, like in that movie Serendipity, which is not bad. So they're walking around. And you're like, oh, when are they finally going to meet? And here's the scene where they meet, okay? Because if you remember, on Law and Order, whenever Jerry Orbach saw a dead body, he'd make a funny little joke. Like, Jerry Orbach always had a one-liner, like, every single time. So at the end of the movie, the guy and the girl are coming down the street from opposite ends of the street, okay? And there's an alley in the middle of the street, and there's a teacher lying dead in the alley. And at the same moment, they both go, huh, school's out, and then they lock eyes. Coming to a theater near you.
Welcome back to another edition of the 3 for 30 here on SteelCityMusic.ca. I'm your host, Gunnar, and this week's guest is Jessie Gollum. You may know her from the media over the last year, one of the curators of the Basic Income Project here in Hamilton. I should say, actually, one of the people that actually stood up to the government and said, no, you should have canceled this, and here are the reasons why. Also, musically, she plays around town here in Hamilton, Ontario, and also does a open mic night at St. Paul's Church. Jessie, thanks for taking the time out of your day to talk about the three songs for the 3 for 30.
Thank you for having me, Gunnar. It's great to be here.
You sound very peppy. Thank you for having me here, Gunnar.
Oh my god.
No, but thanks for coming up to the studios. Okay, so three songs.
Yes.
Three songs with three specific memories.
Yes.
Your three songs are: one is from ELO, Living Thing. Two is from Postal Service, Brand New Colony. Wait for it. The third one, Liebe Strom, number 3 in A flat major, is your third choice.
Just rocking that classical music, you know?
Yeah, apparently you are. Okay, so let's start with your first song, ELO, from the artist ELO, Living Thing. Tell us about the song and the story behind it.
Sure. So, like, growing up, my dad really, really liked prog rock. So that was a huge musical influence to me growing up. Bands like Pink Floyd, Supertramp, Genesis were all, And including Electric Light Orchestra. And also a big thing that I used to do with my dad and my sibling and my mom would be like, go to these concerts. We love concerts. So we went to go see ELO, and the concert was actually the week after the government announced the cancellation of the basic income pilot.
No.
Yeah, it just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it was a very stressful time. I was very angry at the government, what happened, and very furious. I had gone to Queen's Park with a couple of other basic income recipients and a couple of other supporters to sort of protest the cancellation. And it sort of threw me into this portrait series. So I started taking these pictures. I went to Queen's Park carrying like some cardboard and some markers in my camera and started taking pictures of people, like the other recipients, holding signs and saying what they used the money for. It was like, you know, they were investing in their children. They were building businesses. They were going back to school. They were buying healthier food, moving into safer housing, all this stuff. So I suddenly found myself a leader in this movement. And that day, they scheduled me and put me into a press conference. So I spoke at this press conference. And then a couple of days later, the Toronto Sun released an article about me. And it was a very derogatory article. Somebody, one of Brian Lilly's assistants, must have stalked my Facebook heavily because they found a picture of the concert tickets I had for ELO. And so then the article was, Jesse Gollum is using basic income to go to concerts.
That's so terrible.
I know. I was just like, oh my God. Like, it was just, I thought it was hilarious when I read it. And I'm like, my biggest claim to fame and the most proudest moment is that I've done something enough to make the Toronto Sun angry enough to write a derogatory article about me. But also, like, is that the best you got? Like, that is the dirt you dug up on me. That is the skeletons in my closet. Like, I'm doing pretty good here.
Yeah, it's concert tickets that you didn't use basic income money for.
No, my dad bought those tickets, and so then we went to ELO, and Jeff Lynne was there. Like, of course he was, and he started playing "Living Thing," and then the chorus is, "It's a living thing. It's a terrible thing to lose. It's a giving thing. What a terrible thing to lose." And just with everything with basic income and everything that happened, I've never sobbed in a concert before, but I just started sobbing and just crying and just weeping because of what had happened and how these words got to me. And like, the song itself is such a happy and upbeat song, but even now to this day, it brings tears to my eyes just to hear it because of it's associated with that memory and that story.
Okay, well, why don't we play the song right now? Here's "Living Thing" from ELO on the 3 for 30.
Slag floating.
for your next song, Jesse, it's from the Postal Service, the song Brand New Colony. What's the backstory on this one?
So in my teenage years, I had that prog influence from my dad growing up,
right,
and everything. But then I never really listened to a lot of current music, and I never really listened to anything from the indie scene or anything. In fact, in my teenage years, I grew up in a very small conservative town, and
sure.
My choice of friends in that community were either Christians or meth heads. So I really like my teeth, so I went with the Christians.
Okay.
And sort of found myself in this, like, really deep-rooted, very conservative Christian life. And it was quite the bubble. I look back and I kind of scream in horror at the homophobia, the pro-life, all of the stuff that was shoved down my throat. Save yourself for marriage, dress modestly, girls must be silent and submissive, all that bullshit. And I'm very glad that I got out of it, and I sort of, you know, saw the light and escaped that sort of life and everything. But yeah, it influenced me huge for about 10 years, but then it also influenced my musical choices. And I'm sorry, but the Christian music world is not, the quality of music is just not there. Like, it's all, they create music that is meant to be very, very easy to play and very palatable and very comfortable to listen to, but it isn't different or edgy or anything. And I realized I was kind of starving for that music. And in grade 12, I kind of changed my friends group. I met this one girl, and she invited me to a party. And from there, I met this boy, and I got a little bit of a crush on him, and
okay.
He had a little bit of a crush on me. And there was one day, it was a PD day because I was still in high school, and this boy came over, and he brought his portable hard drive, and he plugged it into my computer and gave me music. He gave me Sufjan Stevens, Franz Ferdinand, Chili Peppers, the Postal Service, like all of this music. And eventually, like, he and I dated for it was honestly not that long, like maybe a couple of months. And then, you know, I broke up with me, and I was devastated, and my high school sweetheart breakup and this stuff. And
yeah.
It's funny because we're still friends today. And like, I look back on it, I'm just like, oh my God, you're such a drama queen. But in the course of our friendship, he sold me an iPod. They got in 2006, and I still have this iPod. I still use this iPod every single day. I use it on walks. I take it with me everywhere.
Sure.
I should have brought it into the studio. It's in my car right now. And that iPod has become one of my most treasured possessions, and I haven't updated it since he gave it to me, or like since I got it from him.
Why bother?
Yeah. So it's just sort of like this time capsule of what teenage Jesse listened to, and thanks to this boy bringing his hard drive to my house and introducing me to this whole new world of indie music, I got to learn. I would never have heard the Postal Service before, and they are easily one of my favorite bands, and that 2003 album Give Up is in my top five for best albums to me that I just love listening to.
Awesome. Why don't we spin that right now? Here's a Brand New Colony from the Postal Service on the 3 for 30.
Plays your favorite albums back as you're lying there, drifting. drifting off to sleep. Drifting off to sleep. I'll be the platform shoes and do what heredity's done to you. You won't have to strain to look into my eyes. I'll be your winter coat, buttons up straight to the throat with a collar up so you won't catch cold. I want to take you far from the cynics in this town and kiss you on the mouth. We'll cut our bodies free from the tethers of this scene. Start a brand new colony where everything will change. We'll give ourselves new names. Identities erased. The sun will heat the ground under our bare feet. This brand new colony. This brand new colony.
Third choice, but we're going to be making a correction because as we were recording, you looked at me and said, I don't want to do that song now. I have this other song, yep. This other memory that yep. I want to share. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. We'll just make the correction now. So we're not going to be spinning Liebe Strom's number 3 A flat major.
We are not.
We're going to talk about Sweet By and By.
Yes. Yes, and we are.
Now, is that the song or is that the artist?
That is the song.
And who is that by?
Walter Stier.
Walter Stier.
I think.
You think?
It's an old song. It's okay. A very old church hymn. It's actually a funeral song.
Really?
The lyrics of the chorus are, "In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore."
I've heard it before, yes.
Yeah, it's a very classic old church hymn. I'm a classical pianist. That is the music that I play. So sure. I don't... most of my music is all like hundreds-year-old Beethoven mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And this one song, like, there's a couple of... Like, music runs in my family. I'm not the only pianist in my family. My cousin is a pianist. My aunt is quite an accomplished organist. And music has run in our family all the way. Like, I can trace my ancestry down to the people who founded the city of Leipzig in Germany. That was the birthplace of many famous classical composers. So it runs in our family. And there's this one particular song that my grandmother just loves. And she has this book called the Monster Imperial Book. And it was like this song book last published in the 30s. So right. Every copy of this book is really, really old. And this book has this song in it, Sweet By and By, and this piano version of the song. It's a very extravagant song. A lot of, like, you know, crazy arpeggios and fancy piano frilly right. stuff to just make it sound very impressive. I tried to teach it to one of my students, and she called it extra. And I was like, that's accurate.
Yeah.
So when I was 10 years old, I'd been taking piano lessons for a few years at that point. And I walked into piano lessons, and the student before me was playing this song. And I was like, oh my God, Sweet By and By, that's the family song. I have to learn this song. And so, you know, 10-year-old me went to my piano teacher, and I was like, you need to teach me this. And this was way above my level of what I was able to play. But and my piano, any normal piano teacher would say, hell no, not until, you know, a couple of years from now. But my piano teacher believed in me. He said, okay, yeah, we'll do it. And, like, my hands weren't even big enough to reach an octave on a piano yet, and like, 8 keys. And that's usually a big span on a piano. Like that's pretty normal for people to be able to play. But I learned the song. And it took me a very long time to learn it, and I dedicated a very solid amount of my life just to learn that song so I could surprise my grandma.
What was the experience like playing it for your grandma for the first time?
So we did it at a music festival. I invited her to the music festival I was competing in, and the person I was competing against was about 8 years older than me, mm-hmm. Much more experienced. I've been playing for a lot longer than I am. My mom said that she looked up at the front and she could see, you know, little old Jesse sitting there next to this, you know, 18-year-old, and just looking up being like, wow, this is my competition. Grandma said it brought tears to her eyes. She did not see it coming. And then I started playing it, and it was one of her favorite memories. And last year, when my grandfather died, I actually played it at his funeral.
Oh, how nice. That's
yeah.
a nice thing to do.
And I still know the song. I still can yeah. play it very well. It's part of my repertoire. It's yeah. one of my favorite songs to pull out.
That's so. That's a very nice thing to do in memory of your grandfather. I've had other friends who had to do things like that, and someone just couldn't do it because it's very emotional,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But you were able to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
a very nice thing.
Yeah. As the day I heard that Grandpa died, I offered to play the song,
sure.
and Grandma said that would be very nice, and she was very happy I did it. And yeah, so it's just been a song that has stuck with me for over 20 years now.
Right.
And it's going to stick with me till the day I die.
And every time you hear it, good memories.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. It makes me think of my grandma, and she's a lovely person.
Well, thank you for taking the time
today.
Thank
you.
And we're going to play that song right now.
Amazing.
Sweet By and By Walter Steer here on the 3 for 30. Thank you.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Hey folks, you've been listening to Steel City Music here on The Hawk. This hour, we're going to do a whole album. Here's Pucifer, Money Shot Your Reload on Steel City Music.